Welcome to the Banking Reinvented podcast. Every week, we discuss how banks can progressively modernize their customer journeys and model business operations around their customers. You're listening to Tim Rutten, and I'll be joined by Backbase CEO and founder Jouk Pleiter and other senior banking leaders from around the globe. Ready to unpack how to re-architect banking together? Let's get started. All right, welcome back everyone to a new episode of Banking Reinvented, the podcast for changemakers in banking. And today I'm joined again by Jouk. Jouk, it's good to see you.
Tim, very good to see you.
Welcome back in the studio here in Amsterdam, where maybe to kick things off, last week we were at the other part of the world. Where were we?
Scottsdale, Arizona. Maybe for the audience, like we had our annual conference, Backbase Engage, and the major topic was the launch of the Backbase AI-powered banking platform. Tim, the feedback from the... I still have goosebumps, right? People really realize like this whole AI movement, we're now in it for the last 2 years. I think the first 2 years were a little bit like, okay, where's this going? Is this mostly with, let's say, the open AIs, the Geminis, the Googles, the Anthropics of this world? Like you need billions of investments, but like we're now entering an era, especially I think like the second half of last year, where it became very clear that this AI thing now reaches a maturity, the strength of these models, but not only the models themselves, but also the agentic AI software development framework around it. We're now at the tipping point where this is, I think, comparable with the invention of electricity. We now basically, it means that it has at a maturity level that it will, we can basically reinvent every industry, every job, every task. And I think that is just profound. I think we've all seen the internet transformation, we've seen the mobile transformation. It has all these characteristics and probably could even be more impactful. We basically also in Backbase, we had our strategic workshops. We embarked on our AI transformation roadmap 18 months ago. So we also went through the whole learning cycle of figuring out experimentation. And especially in the last 6 months, I've seen a massive acceleration in very tangible results. Where the first, 12 months was like encouraging. Okay, let's double down, let's do more. But like we see an acceleration in very concrete wins. So that also resulted in our overall global leadership team to say, okay, for 25 moving forward, this is the main topic. We basically have to reinvent ourselves. We have to disrupt ourselves. We talk a lot about banks and the need for transformation and the need for disruption, but you know, basically we have to eat our own dog food here, and every software company will be disrupted in a major way. So I think there's a couple of choices. Either you don't play and you become irrelevant, or you do play and you lean in. And that's exactly what we decided to do, 9 months ago. So okay, let's go all in. And that all accumulated into the launch last week.
Yeah. With these things, you can also call it too early in an industry. Yeah. Just to remind you of, the metaverse or the first crypto wave that happened many years ago. Mm-hmm. Why did you decide now to do this with Backbase and really go all the way? I think the launch is very clear. Backbase is now an AI-powered banking platform with all the different capabilities that we bring to the table. Yeah. This is not an on-the-side thing anymore. Like, it's really the main thing that we basically now bring to the market.
Yeah. No, I think it's really marketing and market signal. Like you mentioned a few examples. You could clearly say they would stay in that kind of on-the-side experimental innovation type of thing, labs thing, but not mainstream. I think what I tried to say in the opening, like we in the last 12 months, but especially in the last 9 months, we see just a very clear, just highlight a few major opportunities. One, banks are sitting on a gold mine with all the data. All the data for the customer, but also for the employee, is streaming through platforms like Backbase. So the location of an engagement banking platform like Backbase is basically exactly rightly located on top of a major oil field. So we just need to tap into that. And to make very concrete, with Grand Central, with like the data aggregation in one location, cleaning up the data, and then utilizing the data to do cross and upsell. So basically help the financial institution to increase their product holdings, or on the other side, to drive relevant advice. And I think we've seen that historically. So this part is nothing is new, but I think you really see now an acceleration like that. Platforms like Backbase are perfectly located just to capitalize and help banks to capitalize on that opportunity. So we said like, this is a no regret move. Yeah. This is complete no regret move. Let's go all in. And especially because the business case is so strong. So 9 months ago, we saw the first results of the actual uplift we can do in product holdings, and it is just very encouraging. Like it is moving the needle. So that was one major thing. Then the second part is kind of these AI models and also the agentic framework. It is now really in the tipping point for software development productivity. So basically the notion of utilizing agents across the software development lifecycle. We've been experimenting and working with this for the last 18 months, and the amount of progress we see, the amount of efficiency gains is just mind-blowing. So we felt like, hey, this is probably the largest bottleneck for our customers in as a whole in the banking industry. Like 60, 80, 90% of the work people do is system integration and bespoke software development. A lot of people would like to modernize their IT landscape, but it's just brute force and the risks are way too big. So to take the AI power across, to do migration, to do upgrades, to accelerate the implementation of new journeys on a brand new platform. So I think the whole business case, I think the rationalization for modernization has been there forever, right? You know you need to do it, but the task was too risky. So I think AI is a massive element that will de-risk the move to modernize. So I think that is a major opportunity, and the technology is now mature enough to actually do it and make it happen. So that's a, I would say, a second reason to do it. Then thirdly, let's call it in essence product or process efficiencies. So look at a bank, like the amount of people you have in the front office, the amount of people you have in the mid office, in the back office. So think about customer support, ongoing customer due diligence, everything that's related to re-KYC, AML, fraud. Like we see per bank hundreds, if not thousands of people doing a lot of repetitive labor. And we also now see that the AI models and the agentic frameworks around it are at the maturity level that you can unlock massive productivities in those processes as well. So again, that's another no regret move. So I think already I rarely see a technology where you have three major ROI use cases. And timing wise, we had to wait. And that's also why we do it now, for it to be beyond the tipping point. And we're still very early on, let's say, in the industry. It's still very early days. But the leading indicating signals are there that this is going to happen and it's going to have a triple ROI.
Would you be comfortable sharing any of the data points that you've seen so far in the context of Backbase, especially with the software development lifecycle? Because I know that's a main topic we hear in the field.
Yeah, this is just very anecdotal, and it's one of the earlier results. But we had a code base of a certain SDK, a pretty important chunk of work. We had to basically upgrade because there was new technologies. We basically had to do maintenance on it. The team started to do this with a new experimental AI framework, and the effort would normally take 3 people, 3 months. We basically reduced it to 3 people, 3 weeks. So that's a 10x. Productivity gain for it. Like, we didn't create any new value for our customers, but we just had to do some mandatory work to upgrade a piece of critical software. Another data point in that same example is the actual numbers lines of code went from, I believe, 29,000 lines of code back to 8,000 or something. Like, another massive efficiency. You even wonder, like, how's this code created in the past? Like, that is that you can gain that type of efficiency. But these things are I think, early indicators of what is about to come.
So basically you're saying the timing is right because you've always been sitting on this gold mine of data.
Yeah.
Now there's a technology to bring it all into one single platform to basically unify it and make it available to the AI models, to the machine learning models.
Yeah.
By now, compared to 6 months ago, the frameworks are getting more mature to actually leverage this in an enterprise context.
Yeah.
Right, so the actual open source frameworks that allow you to build agents and to do multi-agent orchestration, mm-hmm. like things are becoming real. It's not just slideware.
Yeah.
And I think everyone that is a little bit active on LinkedIn, you will see these examples in all of the other industries.
Yeah.
I think banking is clearly the next. Mm-hmm. Still, sure, there's compliance and risk and this and that, but we have to move the needle as an industry. And I think there, we just made the call.
Yeah, well said. I think agentic is really the game changer. I think agentic is now the path, the way to kind of unlock real tangible business value. I think agentic is also the way to put guardrails around these agents. Agentic is the way to make workflows. The recent development, like we had this podcast, I think 9 months ago, where we said like, these agents will come, but let's now figure out how are they going to collaborate? How are they going to communicate? Like, there might be a literal quote 9 months ago, like, yeah, there probably will become APIs or something that will enable them to collaborate. Today, here we are. There's MCP, there's agent to agent. Like, it's almost like the story is evolving in real time on a week by week basis. But like, we're now basically building the foundational elements to kind of unleash and harness the power that's inside these models. And I think that that is the agentic way of programming and all the standards that are now emerging. It, to me, it feels almost like the early days of the internet, where we have to figure out like what's an IP number and how do we do the routing. And the industry at that time also had to figure out like, and today the internet is working based on those agreements. And right now we are witnessing a similar context for agentic AI development.
Yeah. What was the initial response of the audience last week? And overall, what's been the response from the market so far?
Well, a couple of responses. One, there's a subgroup of people that basically say like, Jouk, this is extremely strategic. I said like, they literally told me like, maybe the rest of the audience is not realizing how strategic it is. But you know, this is profoundly impactful. This is like, this is probably the biggest announcement you ever made. So that was one nice group, and they can kind of basically see through a lot of things, maybe that I even don't see, but they see that type of potential. There's another group of people that say, ah, great, this is what I expect from a partner like Backbase, because we know we need to go there, but we don't have the bandwidth, we don't have the talent. So we are basically extremely pleased to see you guys take the lead, and you're basically the icebreaker, and you are basically doing the front up innovation, and you share that with us, and we can basically go and innovate with you in the slipstream together. So that was another part. And, you know, of course, there's also a group of people that say, wait and see. And but probably they're also not the change makers to start with.
You mentioned AI talent.
Yeah.
In your answer.
Yeah.
I think this is not just a technology game like it hasn't been in the past few decades. You need individuals that can actually absorb these concepts and start working in this new mindset, if I may. Like, you develop agents differently than you develop, let's say, traditional code or traditional capabilities. How do you see that angle in basically making the shift?
Completely as a generic statement, I think like for every human on the planet, every professional, I think having a growth mindset is really important. That is for, you know, leaders in banks, but also software engineers, salespeople. I think all of us in any profession, I think it starts now with a growth mindset that we basically have to unlearn habits from the last 50 years and how we do our work. And we have to relearn, and we have to go through the effort of learning a new way of working. And that will be that change management is happening at a global scale, and it will go slower to a degree, faster to a degree. But like a growth mindset, the people with a growth mindset and the people that are willing to reinvent themselves will succeed and will prevail. But like, that is a very personal choice for me as a CEO, for you as an individual, for our clients, for all of us here in this podcast. It's a personal choice. And you, all of us, we will be confronted with switching costs. There are switching costs, and you need to eat that switching cost and in order to become stronger and better and more future-proof. But I think growth mindset equals future-proofing. Growth mindset for companies that need to reinvent themselves, software companies need to reinvent themselves, financial institutions need to reinvent themselves, and the professionals that work in these companies clearly need to reinvent themselves. And it's, you now also see a very nice distribution of different members of any type of company. You see the change makers, the people that are on fire, they are tinkering at night, and they, for them, it's the best time in their lives probably, because they are on fire and this is like unseen what you can do. There's the middle group that needs a little bit of nudge and a little bit of encouragement. And there's also a group of people that are basically not very, they don't lean in. So that's an issue in itself that needs to be handled. So that's kind of largely for the total population scale. If you then look specifically to the AI use cases, yeah, there are skill sets like data science and data engineers and all of those kind of elements. I think there will be, of course, way more demand. I still think also computer science, I think there will be a lot of demands, because all these agentic frameworks, they need to be supervised. So I'm quite bullish for people that can tinker. If they have the growth mindset, I think there's huge opportunity. I think maybe as an engineer, you can have a development path that you can become more of a product owner, or you have to become more of a conductor. You cannot just stay with the code itself, but there's a clear path how you can become an orchestrator and a conductor. So I think that is actually very positive. But you know, every individual has a choice there in how do you embrace that. I think for the industry at scale, Backbase as a company, we also said like we're investing in a dedicated what we call AI factory. And the AI factory is basically accumulation of all the different experts that can turbocharge these AI use cases. So that could be data scientist people to do customer data segmentation, to fine tune the algorithms to drive cross and upsell, right? So that's kind of that whole data. How do we unleash the power of data to drive product holdings, right? That's a clear scenario where you need specific skill sets. So we are accumulating that within the people we have. We're hiring new people. So in that sense, Backbase is in growth mode. We're hiring more specialists, or we are enabling people to basically master that domain. Process orchestration, all these process efficiencies, it's agentic programming. In a way, I think any engineer can learn it. So it's just basically a new skill set. And it's just, again, it's kind of that mindset, go there. Where in the past maybe we had to learn a new programming language, we had to learn how to do mobile development. You know, this is just another way. So basically, I would just say reinvent yourself and off to the games, right? Off to the races.
Yeah. Is there anything in particular that stood out to you in the past, let's say, few months that really triggered you? Like, aha, so that's how it works? Like, is there any cue that you could give to the audience where you feel if you want to go on a fast learning track, start here?
So specifically to learning, right? That's kind of the, well, there was no real aha moment. I was fortunate enough 18 months ago or 12 months ago to be educated by Chris in our organization. So I saw the first results like, wow. And he was kindly enough to kind of explain the basics. And at that time, it became very clear that agentic is the way forward. You don't have to do kind of basically train all your own models. Of course, you can do that to a degree, but like there's actually more of this programming on top of these large language models, connecting them with the right knowledge base, connecting it with the right tooling, connecting with it with the right API capabilities. That's the new art. So that was kind of for me like the ultimate eye opener. Ah, okay, now I finally see how we can extract. And then from that moment onwards, I think there's now so many thought leaders. There's so much knowledge sharing in the public domain. I think it has never been easier to get inspiration. Follow the right podcast, follow the right thought leadership, and it's like you can drink from the fire hose, and it's almost a little bit overwhelming. But
it at least gets me into late night evenings where you're clicking on one thing,
yeah.
Like, oh, let's figure this out, let's sign up, let's play with it myself.
Yeah.
That's the thing I would add. Although we're all using ChatGPT and Perplexity and what have you, that's still relatively reactive use cases, because I need to type something in or I talk to my AI and it gives me a certain response. I think that the aha to me was actually having an agent being developed in front of my own eyes.
Yeah.
Like, what does it look like? What are the response codes? How do all these things combined deliver an outcome and then go to a next step, have a human in the loop? Actually seeing it in front of my own eyes with an engineer showing their screen, click.
Spot
like,
on.
Aha, that's what it looks like. And I think that's really exciting that is there, right? And we're going to be sharing a lot of that also in the coming few months out of our realm, just to contribute to the ecosystem.
Maybe we should have a webinar where we can actually show that to people with live video and you see it happening. I think if I may add, like the evolution is almost like, I think like the OpenAI kind of guys with Model 3 did something mind-blowing by basically kind of creating this UI on top of it, so you can basically ask the query. And that like the most rudimentary, simple form that is now scaling that company to hundreds of millions of users, where you basically, it's a single prompt type of metaphor. Next step, you start to see, you can go to reasoning. You basically start to see it kind of basically do some research, and you kind of basically see it working like a robot in the background and coming with like a you basically, it's not like an instant search result, but you basically see how it builds and how it does the research, right? So that's nice. I think I just was working with this other tool called Manus AI. And that's kind of basically the first incarnation of an agent where you can actually instruct it, for instance, it tries to book a trip. So you can actually see it scrolling to Expedia or to booking.com, and then it goes to an airline. And you basically, because it has a dual screen, you prompt it, and then and next to it, you basically see the actual agent scrolling through browsers. That's also why web browsers are becoming a major thing for AI companies, just to have the control there to basically operate it like a human operator and then do that in split seconds. So you kind of start, but it's all to your point, it's very visual. That's the point that I'm trying to say. Like for an engineer, they know it, but like for a regular non-engineering person, you see that happening. And then actually to your point, like when you really go into these agent builders, it becomes almost like workflow-wise, where you see the agent, you see the inputs, you see it connected to the data, you see it connected to the knowledge base. So I think like for a lot of us human beings, we probably need to have some visualization to kind of better understand what is happening behind the scenes. Yeah.
On that webinar, for sure, in June we're launching. We're going to do a webinar series which has an angle on AI, for sure. And we're actually going to show it hands-on. Moving forward, we now launched the AI-powered banking platform. That was last week in Scottsdale.
Yeah.
A lot more to come, I would imagine, Jouk. What does the end state look like? What's the, let's say, journey for the coming few months?
Yeah, well, our take is... ultimately, I think like we started with the opening of the podcast, like this is like electricity and every process has to be reinvented through this lens. Literally anything. So that just in banking and just in retail banking or in commercial banking, you have thousands of use cases. Like it's a lot. So I think this change is bigger than creating a mobile app. So it's a huge, huge opportunity and it's also a huge threat. But think about this, like in the most extreme format, like I just had this conversation the other day, and this is like a bit scary, like because there could also be a very strange outcome. But like you could, we have to be prepared for a future like 5-10 years down the road. Let's say 5 years down the road that you don't need a mobile banking application anymore. Let that sink in. All right, why not? Because you are in your GPT app and you ask it to do something. And if it has API access and it can work with a headless entitlements engine and it has the rights to go in, it can do pretty much anything. So this means that the actual ownership of the customer experience is moving away from the bank. It is moving away from booking.com. It is moving away from every freaking industry and it is moving into the owner of the chat application. This is...
or the new pattern that is...
Yes.
Could be a new device, could be a new way of consuming a device.
But like, who's owning that? It could be Apple Intelligence. Yeah. It could be Android. It could be OpenAI. So it will be the UI and the acting point is even more concentrated. Like historically, we had an app store, but you could at least have your own app. Right? Now, there is, well, right? So this is the most extreme format. And I think, like, how do we prepare for that as an industry? Right. And I think so. Actually, I do think you want to own that UI. You want to own that access point. You want to own some level of engagement layer. So there will be online banking. There will be mobile banking. But there's also kind of this new metaphor where agents and a new form factor will dictate it. Maybe this is far out. Maybe this is 5 years out. Maybe this is 10 years out. But I think we should kind of be, battle test our own thought process. Like, OK, how are we ready for this?
To your point, the example that you just shared of Manus, that is basically trying to book a trip on your behalf and is using traditional channels, right? Literally browsing and scrolling and whatever. Yeah. We saw the announcement last week, not only from MasterCard, also from PayPal, from Shopify, that they're fully embedded in ChatGPT, where you can literally drive e-commerce through the GPT experience.
Yeah.
And you're not even seeing the actual background of it. Yeah. Is it going to a shop? Is it going to traditional screens?
Yeah.
I think in business to consumer, this will go very fast. Like, at least that's my perspective, because it's possible. Making it more seamless, way more simple. You can actually get all of that knowledge directly executed and you buy the best, whatever, thing that you buy online, insurance, cards, what have you. Curious to explore further in the coming few years what this would mean to, let's say, the actual banking domain in your closed environment, where you look at your accounts, where you look at your funds, your investments. Yeah. Whether that will move to that type of touch points or that there's indeed a massive opportunity actually for banks to own that one and really make it, let's say, holistic.
Either way, right? So I think the good news for banks is that like you kind of do control the data access control. Like, are you opening it up? Yes or no? Is there regulation that will force you to open up? Yes or no? So there's definitely some mode where if you don't open up, it's not going to happen. But like then still at the user experience level, you just need to have an alternative. And fintechs and others will kind of experiment with this, where people will open up and are inventing a new business model. So I think some items that have been very sound and solid, like first class citizens, they, you cannot completely rely on them anymore to be there in the next 5 years to be the prime real estate. So this is pretty profound, I would say. Yeah. So this is just one example, but like I think people that lean in, we are now running. So the big areas where we think we need to innovate, that was your question. Like, so I think conversational banking is maybe not on the top of the list of any banker right now, but I think it is an area where we definitely need to focus on and be ready. I think we are ready with the headless platform. We're ready with the APIs. It's a new UI form factor. So if there's any company that can move fast, it's Backbase. But conversational banking is a major one. Another major investment area for us is customer lifetime orchestration. So the word says it, like you how from onboarding a new customer, how do you activate them? So how do you make sure that they fully utilize all the capabilities you offer to them that become sticky? How do you then cross and upsell them? So you increase your product holdings. How do you give them relevant advice? So they also really value you as a trusted advisor. And again, indirectly, that will help you with your share of wallet. So I think conversational banking is a major one. Customer lifetime orchestration is a major one. These process efficiencies, if you don't do it and others do it, then basically your cost income ratio is, so sooner than later, people have to unlock and basically they call it software as service as software. It's basically this movement that agentic AI will basically replace human labor. It's not a nice thing to say, but like in all our, let's say, banking operations, front office, mid office, I think there's only one choice and you have to do it. Because the peer group will do it sooner or later. So ultimately, you have to go because of peer pressure. So that is going to happen as well. And that basically is a complete rewrite of all these labor-intensive processes that need to happen. So in that sense, the next 5 to 10 years, there's going to be a lot of work that needs to be executed to basically make every institution, both software companies as well as financial services, make it fit and ready for the next era.
Now, I don't want to be the party pooper here per se, but the past decade, we've always been speaking about, hey, you've got your existing systems of record. We call them legacy systems. Typically, all of your data is stored there. You've got all these disparate channels, like mobile app, web app, whatever. Like there's a whole range of them, both for the customer-facing side as well as the employee-facing side. That problem is still there, right? Or how do you see that coming to life in, you know, an AI context?
Well, I think the engagement layer gets even more important. But like a couple of things, like we can continue to slim down the system of record. And also, I think hollow out the core can happen a little bit faster because with AI accelerated software development, you just have way more productivity and velocity to hollow out these legacy systems. But then more importantly, unify the data. So the data foundation, that's also with the Backbase Intelligence Fabric, we go all in on that. Data layer, our partnership with Databricks, Snowflake, just to make sure that people can standardize on these state-of-the-art data platforms and data lakehouses and customer data platforms. Unifying the data, rationalizing the data is the no-brainer movement because it's basically the fuel that will drive the large language models, etc. So that is profoundly, and we've been talking about it in the industry for a very long time, so I just didn't say anything novel here, but the fact is that it didn't happen at scale. So we still need to kind of cross that frontier, and I think the business case to do it, and also maybe more so the use case to do it, is even stronger than maybe in the last 10 years. So data unification for sure, and then basically augmenting your business logic, your modern, let's say, engagement orchestration or digital banking process logic, augmenting that with the capabilities of agentic AI. I think the normal business logic you have in a platform like Backbase is kind of bound by rules. It's logic written in software code, right? Now, next to that and on top of that, we're going to extend that with basically independent logic that is driven by large language models. So you basically are moving the frontier of what you can automate. Of course, that also brings a challenge that we need to make do that explainable, reliable. It's, you know, you're not going, this is a regulated industry. This is probably one of the most important things in helping people to protect their finances. So you cannot go rogue here at all. But you will definitely see that some things will be deterministic with lines of code, and it has to be like that. Other use cases, and there's thousands of them, you can start to leverage and tap into these large language models. I think also, I already see, we're going to see new ways of operating that historically was just simply not possible, but way more effective. So we're going to see whole new frontiers of how to do stuff. One example, our CLO product. Like normally you would run campaigns, but we now see that we do the machine learning and the algorithms to kind of identify the right segments, the proximity, the next best action. But with Gen AI, we can now actually generate tailor-made advertising for 90 days in a row in an activation campaign that is completely tailored to that unique individual. So the imagery, the text, the copy, everything is automatically generated for millions of customers. normally you had a marketing team to do your ad inventory, and that's about what you can do. And there, it would pretty much stop there.
Yeah, we have a limit as well.
So like now you basically see like in targeted marketing and cross and activation and upsell campaigns, you're going to go through, let's say, this mass customization never seen before. And I think that's when these different technology of predictive AI, Gen AI, you bring these things together and you basically see a new formula.
Yeah, building on top of that, I think the business case and the prioritization for a platform are bigger than ever, because you indeed need to bring the data together and everything that you just shared.
Yeah.
But on top of that, how does this pop up in the customer's experience? How does it pop up with the actual employee at the bank that is servicing these customers, like the human assist?
Yeah.
I think there the only way to do this is, similarly to the data, it needs to be unified. Also, the experience needs to be unified, which is one of the other things that we shared on the stage last week, the unified banking suite, which you can only deliver if you have one single platform, which drives everything across all lines of business in a very fluid way almost. I think also that frontier is a new click in the model, at least that we see in the market.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, so Tim, you know, you and I are probably very biased in, let's say, a back-based belief system, which is kind of the unified platform, and I'm fully with you. I would love to see how this is going to play out. Like, is it possible for people to refactor or re-engineer AI into legacy applications, and how what is the impact you can get, versus is it better just to kind of have that greenfield technology stack where clean integration, clean data layer, clean microservices, and then journey by journey, basically reimagining these journeys as part of the suite. So from onboarding to activation, to servicing, to the human assist, basically, you know, the full customer life cycle, how you attract them, how you engage, how you retain, how you upsell. Like, yeah, the notion is, our big belief is that if you can do that with a single orchestration platform, you get rid of all the friction of all the duct taping, all the system integration in the middle. But let's see.
Yeah,
it's a bit of a race to see these different scenarios.
As long as you have the options, right?
Yeah, no, they are. Yeah. So, but there's many ways to get to Rome.
Yeah. Cool. Let me try and give a stab at summarizing this session.
The famous Tim summary.
Yeah, let's try to go for it. So we kicked off with a quick summary on why did you decide to move Backbase all the way onto the AI wave. Mm-hmm. The timing is now. So we discussed a little bit that we see it coming to a maturity stage that simply we just have to move and be on the bandwagon as a collective industry. I think that's also the call to action. It's time to act now and get into learning mode, right? Literally learning by doing, growth mindset. Then secondarily, we talked quite extensively around agentic AI. Also there's a bit of a tipping point right now, especially that there's a lot of open source frameworks and a lot of engineers that have stepped into this domain, which means that every week we're looking at it real-time developing, and it's becoming very strong. And my point was also, you want to look at this with your own eyes, because then you probably click and see what the impact can be in your context. Then we explored, hey, what are actually the ingredients that you would want to bring to the table to drive this appropriately? The data, process efficiency, and basically fixing the software development lifecycle in a way and at a pace with AI that is vastly different from what you could do traditionally.
Yeah.
I think they're the data points that you will see in the field, but also with Backbase. It's very significant. So again, that's also the call to action. Like, you want to uncover this. You want to dive deep and understand what this is and how you can apply it. We touched a little bit about the skill gap, basically AI talent. Mm-hmm. Also there, as Backbase, we're moving and building an AI factory, bringing all the talent together so you can tap into it. But nevertheless, you need this capability to bring in that talent to work with. And then lastly, we basically explored a few angles on how does this actually come to life eventually. Is there a UI in 5 to 10 years, yes or no? Mm-hmm. That's more inspirational, future focused. Anything you'd like to add, Jouk?
Yeah, I think as an industry, I think everything, it is still very early days. In the conversation we have with most bankers, I would say like the most people are just scratching the surface with, you know, bank XYZ GPT. You know, they basically are tinkering a little bit with, let's say a Microsoft Copilot type of thing. I just would like to say, like, okay, guys, respect and but like that's not the game. We're just really scratching the surface. I really think the big domains, and I think it's also now time to move beyond some pilots into let's tackle. My call to action would be, I think it's time to start to tackle and to go in with the real meaty chunks of use cases that are moving the needle. So, if I could summarize them, I would go big in on how do we harvest our data and how do we use that to properly advise our customers and to do cross and upsell. So basically tap into that gold mine of data. And you know, every bank, I think to a degree, you have a captive audience in your mobile app. In that sense, the business model is similar to Google or Meta or Insta. That's the business model. Keep that. That is one of the key assets you have. You have that install base. So how do you capitalize on that? And how do you make it sticky, loyal? And how do you grow your share of wallet with product holdings? So I think it's really time to go there. I think that the second part is like, what are the processes where you have a huge amount of repetitive labor? Things that come to mind are call center, mid-office operations, especially around KYC, where you have thousands of people doing repetitive work. I really think it's time to go there and to figure out like how can we start to work with multi-agent systems that we basically, I think the future now, sooner than later, is we're going to get hybrid teams where you have human employees, physical employees, and agentic employees collaborating as one. But like where normally our only response was to brute force these problems with more labor in the call center, in the mid-office, I think we're just basically going to see a labor cap and we're going to augment that with agents. So I think for every particular role, you're going to see agents where per role, the agent will automate more of that repetitive stuff, where the human person becomes more of the orchestrator and the human in the loop type of person. But I think that is another major set of process efficiency use cases I think we should tackle as an industry. And I think the sooner you are on that learning curve, the better. I think those are all no regrets moves. And then I think finally, everything in the user experience layer, maybe there you can go a little bit slower, but I do think conversational banking, it could be an earthquake. And it will go slow and you won't notice these things. But then suddenly you wake up and they completely accelerate. And then within 2 years, it's the new normal. Just like as quick as GPT became normal in 2 years, like overnight, there's going to be UI metaphors that will surprise us all. It's going to happen. I don't know what. We don't know how it's going to look like, but it's going to happen. And everybody's preparing for it. The NVIDIAs, the Apples, like all the puzzle pieces are in place. This is going to happen. It's probably called Apple Intelligence that will, you know, become potentially will battle to become the universal interface for everything. Right? So, yeah, I would say I think it is also there. It's important to at least we as Backbase, we feel a responsibility to stay relatively close to the fire. To be a front runner there and to make sure that Backbase banks can actually own the customer experience themselves. Or, you know, we're going to figure out like good ways to coexist there and capture that engagement layer for our customers as much as possible.
It's an incredibly exciting time, isn't it? It's super cool.
It's very enjoyable.
Exactly.
For sure.
All right, Jouk, we're going to wrap up.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be back next week. And from here onwards, we're going to bring a lot of AI-flavored conversations to the table. Also at the practitioner level to make it even more exact on, hey, what does this really mean in day-to-day execution?
Yeah.
And as I mentioned, in June, we're launching this webinar series where we're going to show it to you in real time. So looking forward to seeing you there. See you next week.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Banking Reinvented, a podcast by Backbase. Make sure to follow both Jouk and myself on LinkedIn, where we will be sharing key insights about our journey towards modernizing banking.